Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled Human Wisdom from Scripture found in Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house. I guess you're the brave ones, but we're sure glad you're here. Good to see you. Good to come together and worship the living God. And every Sunday, of course, is a special Sunday, but today's has an added feature, and that is also Sanctity of Life Sunday. We're reminded of what it means to be created in the image of God and how that sets us apart and what that means and what the significance of that is. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. We greet you. We say hello. We hope you experience warmth and hospitality, but are also blessed spiritually through the time of worship. And we invite you to do two things. One is to sign the guest book. If you're willing to do that, it's on a little shelf right off the wall if you go through those doors. And it's right on the way to coffee and cookies, and we invite you to stay for fellowship, to have coffee and cookies together, to get to know one another, to shake your hand, and to make sure you know that we're glad you're here. We know there's folks join us through other means, and so we say good morning to those who join us via Jethro Radio, and then there's others that are on the internet, jethro.fm, and of course we're on YouTube now. I hear a lot about that. People are really enjoying that, and then some folks still get the CDs, and we're grateful for all those different means to reach out. If you listen or join us through electronic means, but are able to come in person, consider this your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family. You'll find us a pretty friendly, informal group, and I think it won't be hard to feel at home here in our church family. We meet lifetime, so 9:30 Sunday mornings. And then this ties in with Sanctity of Life Sunday. Right across from me in the hallway, there's a table, has lots of information on it about protecting the life of the preborn and what that means, and just how to engage people, how to engage in conversations, what to say. There's lots of different stuff. I hope you'll pick that stuff up. It's not just to look at. I encourage you to take that with you, spend some time in it, and maybe even inform yourself about things that are available in dealing with really this black mark on our nation. Our call to worship this morning comes from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20. See, the Lord speaking, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Let's stand and worship this God who gives us this call to worship, singing number 773, He the Pearly Gates Will Open, 773.
Oh,
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are the one who opened the pearly gates, and you did that on Calvary's cross when you died in our place in that glorious resurrection. And then your ascension into heaven, and you're the first fruits, and you bring us with you. We praise you for that. That's why we're here this morning, to worship you and to praise you, to lift up your name, to glorify you, because you alone are worthy. So our prayer is that through the power of your Spirit in our midst, that every part of this service will glorify you, strengthen us, equip us for the journey of life, till you in reality open those pearly gates and we see you face to face. What a day of rejoicing that will be. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 383. Fill Me Now. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 383. It's always our prayer to be filled by Him, to be filled by His Spirit. And in the Gospels, we're taught to request that, to make that part of our prayer request, that His Spirit would fill us. I'd like to give you some updates on our church family before we go into our congregational prayer. We want to continue to remember Betty Holmes in prayer as she still is struggling and things are still difficult. And then, as we've said before, many people are dealing with colds and flu, so we also want to pray about that. And also just use good judgment if you're fighting those things yourself. And it's just good to see Larry Dreyer with us again this morning. He was out for a couple of weeks, had surgery. That's gone well, and we're glad to have you back, Larry. We want to pray for Marge Henge's brother, Marv Van Dyke, who health concerns for Marv and currently is at Metro Hospital being observed and perhaps some treatment. And then we extend our condolence to Judy Winalda. Her husband, Don, passed away Friday evening, so we want to remember Judy and her family in prayer. It's been a long, hard road for Don since he had the stroke many years ago, and we're celebrating his going home, but it's still always hard to say goodbye as well. All funeral arrangements are pending at this time. We should know late tomorrow afternoon, so we'll put out the prayer chain with details, and then also it'll be on our Facebook, 8th Reform Facebook page. And if you have any questions, call our church office Tuesday or Wednesday, and Mary Lee will be able to tell you when the arrangements are. And then we also want to remember the Rusticus family and the passing away of one of their brothers, Ike. And the visitation for Ike is this afternoon at Lakeshore Memorial. That's on James Street in Holland. And the funeral service is planned for tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at the Harlem Church. And so remember the Rusticus family, Peter and Linda and Nick and Bob come here. But it's a big family. And then remember in prayer, too, the Herwire family, as Brian's funeral was yesterday, and then the Ninehouse family, as Mar's funeral was Friday. And so in this, we're always reminded that we live between time and eternity, and always be prepared to meet our Maker. Let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Eternal and loving Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, the one who wants to be in relationship with us, the one who says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Giver of life, help us to value and honor life as a gift and a miracle that comes from you and you alone. Help us to remember that we are created in your image, and that nothing stamped with the divine image and likeness was sent into the world to be destroyed. Forgive us for all the times we fail you, but especially when we don't honor the gift of life or value it. Forgive us as a people and as a nation that life has become so cheap. This is true for the preborn. It's becoming true for the elderly, and we see evidence of it in between. Protect us from human wisdom. Give us wisdom that comes from you. We pray for special grace for those who have had an abortion or supported or encouraged someone to have one. May they find forgiveness and freedom in you, because you are a merciful God. You are a loving God. You say that you forgive us our transgressions, our sins. You cast them away into the depth of your sea of forgiveness. Matter of fact, you say as far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove our transgressions from us. We ask for grace for all of those who are dealing with a pregnancy they don't want. Give them strength for the journey and wisdom for the hour. As your people, may we also be instruments of love and care for all those who are hurting and dealing with a crisis in their lives. Make us compassionate and kind, loving and helpful. We thank you for giving strength and wisdom to all those who have made the hard choice and given birth to their babies, even when it was not convenient. Thank you also for all who courageously raised children and walked a hard road, but were faithful to what you intended. And that really speaks to all of us. And the job of being parents actually is never done. Never done. Thank you for the Right to Life, Alpha Center, Bethany Christian Services, and other agencies that work with protecting life and arrange adoptions. We pray your blessing on them. We pray that your Spirit would convict all those that support abortion and those who perform the cruel, brutal procedure that ends in death for the preborn. We pray for our leaders and all those who are in position of authority whose voice affects so many helpless ones. Help our state leaders, our governor, Whitmer, our attorney general, Nessel, to see the value of all life, including the preborn. We pray that as your people, we would not be lukewarm in fighting for the protection of them. We pray for all who are grieving, be it over an abortion, miscarriages, all those dealing with the loss of life. When you created us in the beginning, we were not created to die. It never feels natural. It always brings pain. And today we remember Judy Winald and her family as you called Don home. We can celebrate his going home, but we pray for your grace for them as a family. We pray for the Rusticus family and Ike's passing. Will you surround them too with your presence and your peace? And we also thank you for the assurance that he's in your presence. Will you continue to sustain and strengthen the Brian Herwire family as well as the Marv Nienhuis family? Father, as life is now so different, may your presence be enough that you would comfort, strengthen, because our hope is in you. You are the resurrection and the life. Then we pray for all those dealing with physical ailments, and we pray for Betty Holmes, Nick Rusticus, Joanne Sleeth, Helen Shaver, Michelle Strading, Marv Van Dyke, Larry Dreyer, Ron Engels, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Judy Winalda, Arvilla DeVries, Lorraine Strading, Jim Verstrat, Tom Noble, and Brenda Verbeek. We thank you, Father, for many that we prayed for over the past months who, with notes of thanksgiving and appreciation, have felt your healing and restorative touch. And we know that there's power in prayer and that ultimately you are always the great physician. This day we pray for Glenn Bartman and Roger Simmons, who are either homebound or in a care facility. We pray for Mel Vanderwest on hospice care. And then, Father, for all people who struggle with emotional needs, be it depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's addictions that keep people trapped. Or other things are just steal the joy out of life and make each day a real challenge. Thank you for relationships. And we thank you, Father, for the way you instituted the family and the joy and the blessings that that brings. And we also know that they can be real hard and difficult times. And so we pray that you help us in our relationships to be loving and kind and encouraging and supportive of one another and to be tolerant as you are of us. Father, we know that you are the perfect relationship in the Trinity, and we can use that as a role model. As we think about relationships in our family, our church family, we think of all those who will be traveling. Some already have gone to warmer climates. Others have plans to soon go. I just pray that you watch over them in their coming and going. And as we're absent one from another, will you keep us in your care? Thank you that we always have that sense that there's a church family we belong to, and there's no better family than the family of God. Will you open your word to us in a new way that we would not be lukewarm people, but people surrendered to Jesus, obedient to his hold on our lives, remembering that he is the potter and we are the clay. We continue to pray for our nation and its leaders, for servicemen and women, and for the chaotic world that we live in. Lord, have mercy on us. Our prayer really is, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Thank you for the church. The local church is the hope of the world. Keep us faithful. And Father, we want to pray for the new houses as they are the arm of the church and are serving in Bahrain. Will you watch over them physically, but may they also have much spiritual strength and emotional strength to keep ministering where you have placed them. We're grateful for your presence at consistory meeting last Monday night. And we ask, Father, that you keep us grounded as a consistory, as a leadership of the church. Keep us grounded firmly in your word to surrender all of our decisions to your lordship. And then, Holy Spirit, will you work in our midst, even this morning, as we study your word. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will sing our hymn of preparation, number 447, Jesus Loves the Little Children. Standing to sing. Thank you. This morning's scripture reading, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 1, and that's page 78 in your pew Bibles. Exodus chapter 1, page 78, we'll read the whole chapter. Hear the word of God. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, even with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithon and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. The book of Exodus really opens with a heart-wrenching story. Things had actually been going really good for the Israelites down there in the land of Egypt. And if you read the conclusion of Genesis, just the previous book, you'll see there was lots of optimism. Things had been going well. And if you remember, Joseph had gone down there. He was sold down there by his brothers. But what they meant for evil, God meant for good. He ends up being the ruler in Egypt. And then his brothers and his dad end up moving down there to survive. There was about 70 people that came down. And the reason they came down to survive was that there was a famine in that whole region, in Egypt, but also in Canaan. But because of the dream that Joseph had had, that God had given him, they had stored up grain in Egypt and rescued many people from starving. And so these Jewish refugees had favor and good standing with the Pharaohs. Life was good. Life was good, and they felt blessed. And as time passed by, this 70 really multiplied. That's really another sign of God's favor. Verse 7 in this morning's reading: "But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Yes, children are a gift and a blessing from God. God alone can create life. That is what makes human life sacred. We are the only thing in all of creation that is stamped with the image of God. That's why in Psalm 8, we are called His crowning glory, because we are created in His image. So back to the story in Exodus 1. There were so many Israelites in the land of Egypt that the Egyptians became fearful. And yes, some of a nation's strength depends on its population size. Now, Egypt, being a pagan nation, determined their solution would be oppression. Oppression of the Israelites, the Jewish people, to deal with their fears. That's why they say, "Let us deal shrewdly with these Jewish people." Human wisdom. Why did they want to do this? Well, they said they might become even more numerous. And then if war breaks out, they join our enemies or they fight against us, they leave the country. So what's the plan? Well, first they'll make the people slaves. If you make somebody a slave, it makes them less than human. That's been happening throughout history. And then through forced labor, try to control them. But the oppression of the Egyptians did not stifle God's blessing of more children. And in verse 12, we read that the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. And the Egyptians started to dread the Jewish people. Their fear mushroomed. And they come up with a new plan of action. The reasoning of a shrewd heart that doesn't take God into the calculation always resorts to violence and death. That's how we know Satan gets involved. All Satan has to offer is death and destruction. Whatever his plan is, however beautifully he markets it, however attractive he makes it, his plan always ends up with death and destruction. And so this is the plan. Pharaoh tells the Egyptian midwives, when the Hebrew babies are born, verse 16, if it's a boy, kill it. Human wisdom. Why was this critical? Because boys are manpower. Boys become soldiers. Boys are needed for the reproduction of the Hebrew race. But let the girls live. But if it's a boy, kill it. Now the midwives, who were most likely Egyptian, and there's lots of discussion about that, but most likely were Egyptian, feared God and honored and obeyed the God of the Jews. And when God changes the heart, He changes our thinking, He changes our behavior, He changes our worldview. What's our worldview? When we look at the world and how we respond to it based on our values. That's our worldview. God gave them the courage to disobey Pharaoh. That would be at their own peril. That would be definitely civil disobedience, which meant death. Now, when we read the story, our heart aches for those parents. The excitement of the pregnancy, the excitement of new birth, the fear of, if this baby is a boy, they're going to kill him. And so here are some things for us to remember, where we can also see God's grace and power in the face of overwhelming odds. Words of encouragement that God is still in the pain and God is in the hardship. It really speaks to the sovereignty of God. He extends special value to us. We can never overlook that. God extends special value to us, to humans, from conception to death. If you have your own Bibles, Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4 should really be underlined. It's a beautiful passage. It's a comforting passage. And I'll just encourage you again. I know we got good pew Bibles, but I encourage you, bring your own Bibles to church so you can write in them, so you can highlight, so you can put your notes in the margins. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. God speaking, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived." Did you catch that phrase? Since you were conceived. This is way before birth. "And I have carried you since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am He. I am the one who will sustain you. I have made you, I'll carry you, I'll sustain you, and I'll rescue you." Isn't this an amazing God that we call our Father? What He will do for us from conception to death. So it becomes real clear that God gives life, and He has alone has the authority to say when life ends. And He also gives certain exceptions to that in His Word. I understand that. But think back on this story in Exodus that we just read. Just think about that for a minute. A nation that kills the children of another nation, what the Egyptians were doing to the Jews, wouldn't we call that a barbarian nation? So what do we call a nation that kills its own children? I don't think civilized or Christian are words that come to mind. Today, we commemorate an event that took place 53 years ago, on January the 22nd, 1973. Today is a day of infamy. It is the deadliest day in our nation's history, bar none. That's the day the Supreme Court of the United States issued a death sentence to over 64 million babies and still counting. How many is that? If I had a screen, I'd put up the picture of the United States, every state. I want you to listen to this. Think about the residents in all the states that I'm going to mention. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, and Arkansas would be empty. That's how many 64 million people are. 18 states would be completely empty. I have a handout of this. It's on the table in the hallway if you want to have the visual of it. It shows you the states all blacked out if you want to look at that. In all the wars our nation has been part of, there's been just under 2 million deaths from the War of Independence to today. 64 million is a staggering number. A staggering number. If we had a moment of silence for every baby aborted since 1973, we would be silent for over 100 years. Silent for over 100 years. And here are some practical everyday consequences that we often refuse to acknowledge, all connected to abortion. When you see these places, restaurants, other places of employment, closed, understaffed, or always have signs up, help wanted, due to the shortage of workers. And then we think of the economic impact as far as homes, cars, stoves, fridge, washers, dryers, grocery store clerks, barbers, dentists, doctors, scientists, all aborted. But the most mind-boggling thing to me of all is that the National Education Association, Teachers Union, NEA, whose bread and butter is children, support abortion. That to me is just totally mind-boggling. A nation that kills its own and lowers its replacement birth rate eventually becomes extinct. What do you say to a nation that legalizes the killing of its preborn? And that nation being one of the most advanced civilizations to date, when the government, which is to protect its citizens, allows those who are the weakest among us to be exterminated through choice. This killing is often dressed up in nice words: choice, rights, reproductive freedom. But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. Isaiah 5, 20 to 23, and I want to read that, already addresses this. Many years ago, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Who is more innocent than a preborn? Deny justice to the innocent. So how do we justify knowing this and just living life as if it's not happening? Just going about our business as if something this tragic and brutal is not going on. Some time ago, I came across some verses in Proverbs that I found very haunting. It's Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, and this is what they say. If you falter in time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. But if you say, we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? In other words, to paraphrase, we can pretend we don't know this is going on. And God says, I know what you know. And what are you doing about it? I know what you know. You will be held accountable. What kind of a nation does God want us to be? Or maybe a better question, as Christians, what kind of people does God want us to be? What actions are we willing to take? There are things we can do, and there's things we must do. Remember, we are a government of, by, and for the people. That's us. That gives us great freedom. That also gives us responsibility with what we're going to do with our freedom. How you vote has a huge impact on the laws of our land. I think it's important to let your federal and state senators and representatives know where you stand. I think it's important to go to school board meetings and let your voice be heard. I think a fair question is to ask yourself if you can biblically justify voting for people who support abortion. Can you biblically justify voting for people who support abortion? And we live in one of the most liberal states in the nation. And in 2022, a law was passed called Reproductive Freedom for All. Talk about 1984. What a misnomer. Reproductive freedom for all? Think of the baby that dies. Where's the freedom for that one? I encourage you to support pro-life organizations. Help them buy ultrasound machines. Ultrasound machines are a huge deterrent to abortion. Focus on the family is also real instrumental in that. Planned Parenthood hates the ultrasound machine because too often it changes people's minds. They start at about $4,000 and go up. Support our local Right to Life chapter. Become a member. I'm glad we support Alpha Center as they minister to those who keep their babies. And if you talk to the people who work at Alpha Center, they will tell you that an ultrasound machine has saved a lot of little ones in their offices. Because once the mother-to-be sees that little image, it changes their hearts. I'm thankful to the deacons for holding an offering for Right to Life today. Now, I know that sometimes they try to give you the numbers that the number of abortions are down. It's hard to know if that's really true because of the morning after pill or the abortion pill that skewed the numbers. If we ask God to bless our nation, we also need to stand up and help stop the killing of our preborn. The preborn are also children of the Heavenly Father. And so the old line that already came from Cain and Abel, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Even if they're very, very small. How we talk with family and friends about abortion is also important. I think many times we're guilty of what we call the sin of silence. We're not willing to engage. We don't want to go there. And so we just leave it alone. Here's a simple basis for a discussion. How to make your fundamental case. When you talk to somebody, just ask them, can we, even if we see things differently, can we at least agree that it is wrong to kill an innocent person? And if they say yes, say, then how can you justify abortion? Because what is guilty about a preborn? So I encourage you, be informed. There's a lot of material on the tables out there. I hope you'll pick it up. I hope you'll read it. I hope you don't pretend this isn't happening. I hope you don't think, yeah, I'm not going to get involved in this. I encourage you. I strongly urge you. Our voices need to be heard. And some of you may think, well, this is getting pretty political. It's not. This is straight biblical. This is based on what the Bible teaches. And we have a mandate. We have a responsibility. So I encourage you to pray. Prayer is powerful. The Holy Spirit goes places we can't. Prayers can change lives. But pray that the most vulnerable among us get protection in our land. That we treat life with sanctity and worship the one who gives it. See, we really become divided people if we worship Jesus and say he's our Lord and Master, and then the very life he gives, we support in exterminating. Jesus himself said, I have come to give life. I've come to give abundant life. Last week we talked about the potter and the clay. Don't forget, we are the clay. We must not give in to human wisdom. There's a lot of human wisdom floating around that is not biblical in any way. Proverbs says very clearly, there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to destruction. In the end, It leads to death. In a moment, we're going to sing number 719, Children of the Heavenly Father. It takes 4 minutes to sing that song. 8 abortions will take place while we sing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you. The darkness of abortion in our nation is overwhelming. We come to you, and one, we seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness for how cavalier we've become about the gift of life. Forgive us, too, for sin of silence and for sitting on the sidelines and not doing anything, just not wanting to be involved. Father, give us courage, give us boldness. Will you equip us? And Father, we come to you because sometimes this all seems so overwhelming and so big. Help us to remember how big a God you are. And that you are the one who really is recruiting us to be the voice for those who cannot speak for themselves. I pray, Father, that you use this message in any way you see fit. If there's anything I said that didn't please you, would you delete that from our minds? Otherwise, will you just etch it into our hearts in such a way that we want to respond and that you can use us in any way you see fit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll sing number 719, Children of the Heavenly Father, standing to sing. This time, the morning offering will be received. There's 2 offerings. The first one is general fund, and the second one is to help support the Grand Rapids Right to Life. The deacons will wait upon you. Thank you. pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We know that all of this belongs to you to begin with. We're your stewards. But thank you for this privilege. And then I pray, Father, that you would use these gifts like the loaves and the fishes, that you would just multiply them and use them, and that many blessings would come out of this and lives would be touched. Only you can make that happen. And will you bless the deacons as they carry out your wishes? We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 738, The Wonder of It All, and we'll sing the first verse. Receive God's blessing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, in him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.